Whoever watches for wisdom at dawn shall not be disappointed, for he shall find wisdom sitting at his gate. Whoever for wisdom's sake keeps vigil shall quickly be free from anxiety. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When the Lord created us, he gave us freedom. He gave us freedom to give ourselves and our lives in love for him. But he also, in turn, gave us the same freedom to not respond in love to him. We often think that not the response of love, the opposite of the response of love, to be something like hate, or to be something like rejection or cruelty or something like that. But it's not. The antithesis, or the opposite of what hatred, or opposite of what love really is really indifference. It's indifference. Because that's exactly what we see there. Indifference is what? It's not paying attention. It's not being ready. It's just losing your focus on the things that are actually important to do. Think about the foolish virgins today. And the gospel that Deacon just proclaimed for us. Do you think that they really set out in that morning saying, I really want to reject the bridegroom when he comes? They were sitting there waiting at the gates. Do you think that they thought, I just want to have nothing to do with him, so I'm going to go ahead and make myself already unprepared to see him? No. Problem is, they didn't think about it. They got busy with other things and missed out on the most important thing. They were indifferent to arriving at the one thing that was necessary, to doing that one thing. They lost their focus. They didn't go out and get oil when they had all day or week or year long to do so. They just didn't do it. We've got that same choice before us. That's what our Lord puts here, to love God or to be indifferent toward him. We have that choice to give ourselves in love, in action, in prayer toward God, or just to stay in bed, to wallow in our own self-pity in our saddest moments, to get too busy for him, or the myriad of other things that come up in our day. We have the freedom to pray, or we have the freedom to do emails and Facebook, or watch endless hours of TV. We have all that freedom. But are we focusing on what our Lord wants and using our freedom for love and not getting lost in indifference? Brothers and sisters, the Christian life isn't always black and white. It's not always the choice between the great evils of the world and the greatest goods. Most of the time, we're in that myriad of gray, that wash of gray that's going on there in the nuances there. There are a million truly worthwhile things that you and I can do every single day. A million of them. But are we doing the most important ones? I can look at myself and even just look back on Friday. Friday, I'd just gotten over an intense illness, and so I had so many things piled up that I couldn't do all in the previous week. And so what I did is I got up incredibly early in the morning and worked and worked and worked, and all of a sudden 6 o'clock came around. I realized I hadn't eaten the entire day. And because of that, I was incredibly weak at the end of it and wasn't able to complete the night well. In fact, I also forgot to pray at midday, and at the end of the day, I had so much left to do, even just on the amount of prayer I needed to catch up on. Because I was so focused on those other things, I missed out on what was really important. Each of us has that though, right? It's not just sequestered to me as Father. Each of us have a million things that we really need to get done, great things that are presented before us every day, things that we really ought to accomplish. But are we doing the things which are actually most important? The things that will actually have meaning beyond today, the things that will last into eternity? Or are we focusing on things that will spring up in the morning like a flower and wither away when the evening sun comes? That's what our Lord is focusing us on today. He's saying, stay focused, stay alert, be aware, don't be indifferent. Stick to those things that are going to last. Just like last week, I thought of a saint that I thought would be easy for us to grapple onto and to listen to what he wants to say. And so I gave you a picture again so you don't have to keep looking at my face. It's not getting any better as time goes on. Here's a saint here, Saint Jerome. One amazing man, a man I deeply love. One of the great saints of the church, a doctor of the church. In fact, this man was an expert in the spiritual life. One of the greatest penitents of the church. He's one of the greatest writers of all time. He was a Greek and Latin scholar. In fact, he knew all the ancient languages, including the language that Jesus himself spoke, all the early ancient languages, and was fluent and conversant in all of these. Here in the 400s, he was a secretary to the popes. He was named a cardinal, which is why you see him wearing the red hat there and all dressed in red. He was chosen as the man to be the official translator of the Bible. He's the one who took the original languages, worked with them, and is able to put them in a language that everybody was able to understand at the time, into Latin, which was then in turn translated many centuries later into the various languages that exist throughout the world. But the church still uses that man's translation of the scriptures, that exact same one. He was a valiant defender of the faith in many ways against all the heretics, and the thing he loved to do most was to study, specifically ancient rhetoric of Cicero, who was the greatest Roman orator of the time. In fact, Cicero was such a great orator, such a great speaker, that it cost him his head because he spoke things that most people didn't want to hear. So this man, St. Jerome, sought to model all the speeches that he ever did upon the works of Cicero because he was so effective in conveying a message. He didn't live a perfect life. In fact, he fought often and had many problems within his life, which is why he did a great deal of penance. He had a temper which so easily was ignited that he would destroy people very quickly with his tongue and afterward have to go down in great humility and ask forgiveness for just about everything he did. He recognized his sinfulness. One day when he was a young man, after all his studies that he did, after all the love that he had given for God and trying to pursue him and reading his scriptures, one day he had a dream when he was a young man. And during that dream, this is what happened. In his dream, he was brought before the very throne of God. Jesus Christ was there, waiting to pass judgment upon his soul, a terrible thing. And when he approached Jesus, Jesus spoke to him a word and asked him a question. He said, "Jerome, in what is your faith?" And Jerome, though afraid at that, perked up because he said, "I know the answer to this." And with a great smile on his face, he turned to our Lord and he said, "I am a Christian." Waiting upon the response of our Lord gave a response that you and I would not expect. He looked at him disapprovingly and shook his head and said, "Jerome, you are not. You are a Ciceronian." Meaning that he had given his life not to Jesus to become a Christian, but rather he had given his life to be a Ciceronian, a follower of Cicero. He had invested all his time in Cicero, what he should have been spending in Christ. Waking up in a cold sweat, Jerome reformed at that moment, or decided to reform his life. Decided to cast that away and say, "I don't need to study Cicero anymore. I just need to study one thing, which is Christ." Because on that last day, I want Jesus to be able to say, "Yes, you are my servant. Come, enter into my glory." Isn't that what we want? We want our Lord to be able to say the same thing for us. What sort of things are going on in our lives? Maybe we're not a Ciceronian. Maybe there's something else that we're giving all of our time to, all of our thoughts to, all of our waking hours to, that makes us less a Christian and more whatever that is. Whatever that thing is, that's the thing that needs to fade away if we want to be prepared and not live that life of indifference to God. That's what we reflect here upon the end of our year. See, in just 2 weeks, we're going to come to the last weekend of our liturgical year and then begin anew in Advent. And each week, we're moving more intensely toward that last judgment, which we're going to experience 2 weeks from today, that last judgment within our readings. And so our Lord is saying today to be prepared. The first reading makes it very clear to us. The first reading talks about what? Wisdom. It's from the very book of wisdom. And what the philosophers will tell us all about wisdom is that wisdom is the key to living a meaningful and fulfilling life, about knowing what is most important in life and knowing those things that aren't as important, judging between the two of those things. They see that wisdom is the object of a person's life, the thing that's supposed to be sought after, longed for, or desired above all things. Everything else is to be put second to wisdom. So in biblical terms, what do we understand wisdom to be? Well, what do we call Jesus? Jesus is wisdom incarnate. Because God is wisdom, and Jesus is wisdom taken on flesh. What do we call the Blessed Virgin Mary? Another word for her is the very seat of wisdom, because Jesus Christ, who is wisdom incarnate, took his seat in her womb. This is what wisdom is. Wisdom is God. God, which is the resplendent and unfading truth. God, which never fades or is a passing glory. All the rest of the goods of this world, brothers and sisters, they come to an end. They wear out. They don't fill our hearts. But only true wisdom, which comes from God, which is his very self, lasts. Christ couldn't make it any clearer for us today. He said to be indifferent, to be unprepared, to be foolish. For those people, the door is going to be locked. It all depends on whether we seek after the highest goal, which is God himself, friendship with him. That's the highest goal, and that's where true wisdom is found. God's not going to force us into it in any way. He always offers his friendship to us. And so today, he puts that before us as something we can choose. You know, there's a man by the name of Steve McEvity. He's a great producer of films, a great movie producer. In fact, he's the one who produced the great film, The Passion of the Christ. He's the one who produced the great film, Braveheart, all these great epic films. And recently, he was giving a talk to some college students who were studying to become involved in the entertainment industry. And after a long talk of telling them various things about what he did in life and advice that he would give, they opened it up for a question and answer session there in New York, in that great college. One of the students asked him what is probably the most common sense question to ask somebody, but it's one of the most profound and difficult ones to answer, hard to grapple with. The young student went up to him and said, "Mr. McEverity, what is the goal of your life?" And when he asked that question, Mr. McEverity turned and faced the window and began to look at it with his arms crossed, just waiting for a moment to give an answer. And as he was doing so, what do you think was going through the minds of all the young people who were there, the young men and women? They were thinking about how they themselves would answer that question. They were probably thinking about the things that they think are most important. Maybe he's thinking about he'd like to make a lot more money, or maybe he'd like to retire in greater security, or to win another coveted award, one that has always eluded him, a lifetime achievement of some kind, or maybe to gain a prestigious professorship somewhere so he could continue teaching even after he was finished doing with his film career. All these sort of things were occurring to these students because that's what they think would be more the goal of their own lives. When he turned back to the crowd to face them, he matter-of-factly said to them this. He said, "The goal of my life, well, that would be to get my kids to heaven. And I guess that probably is my goal too, to get to heaven as well." When he gave that response, you could hear a pin drop. Because everybody else was thinking about everything else in the world except for that. They weren't focused on that at all. They were just shocked. But isn't that the most common sense thing for somebody who's a Christian to give? The goal of my life is to make sure my kids get to heaven. And if I'm going to do that, I better make sure I'm on my way to heaven too. That's it. To have the one thing which is most important within our lives. That's what's really important. To find ourselves locked out in the end is to find ourselves indifferent from that most important thing. I want to tell you about somebody who gets it. Somebody who got it in the same vein as that person. Somebody who wasn't indifferent but was actually prepared to enter into our Lord's house. A young lady that I actually spent time with this week. I'll show you her picture too, but she's not a saint. That's a young lady by the name of Kayla Haddad. She's a 9-year-old girl. I decided I could blow up her picture because she considers me to be her uncle in a way, because her other brother, her real uncle is a priest as well, and he's my dearest friend. I was spending some time with her this week, and she's an amazing young girl. This is what she dressed up as for All Saints Day, Saint Therese of Lisieux, because she herself wants to become a nun and has wanted to since she was a very little child. What I've known about her and what I've come to learn about this young lady since the years that I've been a priest and been in relationship with her and her family is that she is one who's focused on the end of achieving heaven. She wants to be a saint. She doesn't just want to wear the clothing. She wants to actually be one. And what she does about it is she actually sets out a plan every single day to accomplish, which is really remarkable for a child of so few years. By the way, she's been doing this as long as I've been a priest. Every single morning, what she does is when she wakes up, she says three Hail Marys. Three Hail Marys to guard her chastity, to preserve her in the life of faith, and so that she can be a joy to those who she encounters. Those who she encounters each day. In the end of her day, before she goes to bed, she always spends a little bit of time reading from a little book that she has, A Life of a Saint, or from the little scripture, the little Bible that she has there, a little passage of scripture. She prays, obviously, just like all young people do with their parents before they go to bed. But one thing she makes a strong effort to do is that she says, I need to make sure that I get to confession at least once a month because I want to go to confession. And I want my parents to as well. She makes that effort. She wears the scapular every day, which means she lives out the scapular promises, which is to pray the rosary every day, to live out that life of faith. She has this strong longing to enter into God's friendship and to involve him in everything it is that she does. She wants to be a nun. But she's not just focused on doing incredibly holy things all the time. She's a normal young lady. As I was hanging out with her, she was skipping like a little girl, just being happy to see her priest friend who came to visit her on a surprise moment. She is excited to play the piano from time to time to show little things. She pulled me over to the computer to look at and ask what my favorite animal was and then proceeded to search for that on the internet and then find little pictures of that baby animal that was there. And just all those little things that a little girl would be interested in. She has tons of stuffed animals and all these great things, but yet she wants to be a saint. She keeps what's most important in her life focused. She never misses out on those moments of prayer. And she's the most joyful of little girls I probably ever met in my life. Little Kayla is a young lady who understands really what life is about. And in fact, I don't know why I'm getting emotional right now, but probably because I want to be her. I want to be exactly like Kayla, a simple faith that keeps the simple things in perspective, that doesn't allow my life to be complicated by all the things that I think are most important, but really focused on the one things that will last into eternity. That's what our Lord puts before us today. He says, are you prepared for heaven? Are you prepared to be a saint? Because the time which you have in this life is very short compared to the great immensity that eternity is. And where what we do within this life all measures out to what we are going to spend that eternity doing. Is what we're doing now making a difference? Is what we're doing now going to last? Is it something that's going to be able to carry us into the very halls of heaven? You may say, Father, look, I don't hate God. But maybe what it is that you're doing is that you're living in an indifference toward him. Living in a state where you're unprepared. Living in a state where you're not focused on what truly lasts. Remember what Jerome and Jesus had that conversation in their dream. Jesus spoke to Jerome and Jerome spoke to Jesus. Jerome said, look, my faith is in you. I am a Christian. Jesus said, you are not. You're a Ciceronian. In our lives, when Jesus speaks to us and he asks us, are we a Ciceronian or are we a Christian? What is our answer? And it depends on whether we're indifferent or whether we're focused on a life with him forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.